Recording. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. والريكوردينج recording. You don't want your parents to listen to you to find
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Dad.
Hi.
Okay.
Today
we're going to talk about the name of Allah Al-Wakeel.
We didn't talk about this one last year.
The name of Allah, what?
Allah.
Have you been to this class before?
I think.
No, I don't think so. The name of Allah Al-Wakeel. What does it mean, Allah Al-Wakeel? We depend on Allah, right? We depend on Allah. And what? Depend on Allah to vacuum our carpet?
Yeah.
Huh?
No.
Depend on Allah to wash our dishes? Then what does it mean to depend on Allah?
To show us the right path.
Huh?
Oh, wait.
Be patient. Right path.
And have faith that He'll help you.
Have, okay. Depending on Allah means Allah will grant you tawfiq. Allah will grant you what?
Tawfiq.
Who knows the meaning of the word tawfiq?
To help you.
To make your effort successful. Which is kind of to help him. To make your effort what? Successful. So, I depend on Allah.
I don't mind, but do you like it or
do you not? It's a yes or no question.
I did it all last year, I don't mind.
She's doing it well, so you do a better job. Like, for example, make people not. Okay, you want to go? It's fine.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Don't worry, guys.
I want to
go.
You ask me, do I depend on Allah in washing my dishes? The surprise is? Yes. How?
He guides you. He keeps you alive.
He makes my effort successful. How good? If I don't depend on Allah in washing my dishes, then I wash them and they stay dirty. If I don't depend on Allah and wash and cleaning my vacuuming my carpet, then I vacuum them and they stay dirty. So depending on Allah means depending on Allah to grant you what?
Success.
Tawfiq. Grant you tawfiq.
Yeah, I did do this last year.
So what's the meaning of the word tawfiq?
Makes your effort successful.
Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He found a group of people sleeping in the masjid. He told them. He asked them. Why are you sleeping here? How do you expect to get the food? To eat, to get food and drinks and things like that. If I'm just sleeping in the masjid. So they say we are depending on Allah to feed us. We're depending on Allah to feed us. Umar ibn al-Khattab is one of the sahaba that was tough and rough. So he had a stick. Okay. So he started beating them up and say, you're liars. You are liars. You're supposed to go to work and depend on Allah to grant you.
But why did he beat them?
Tawfiq. Huh?
Why did he beat them?
Because they were playing stupid. Just like the guy who stole and he said, that's Allah. That's Allah's choice, not my choice. He beat him up and he said, and my choice, my Allah's choice that I cut your hand. You understand? So, can I just get a child? And this child gets sick. Can I say that I depend on Allah? Allah is the one who gave sickness to the child.
No.
Or my son. Allah is the one who gave sickness to who? My son. And if he wants, he can remove the sickness. So I should not go to the doctor and I should not give any medication. What is wrong here?
You're
is that
trying.
Right?
Huh?
You're not trying because you have to try your fullest and depend on Allah to help you.
MashaAllah, almost the right answer. Depend on Allah to grant you tawfiq, to grant you tawfiq, which is making your effort successful. How is that? Okay. One extreme is to say, no, I'm not going to go to the doctor, I'm not going to take any medication, because Allah is the one, yes, that's supposed to do the job. Please heal my son and bring him healthy back. The other alternative is the person who is materialistic. Materialistic means he doesn't believe in Allah on the corner. Materialistic means, what's the meaning of materialistic?
We're all about materialistic.
What's the meaning of materialistic?
For me?
That's
what I'm saying.
Huh? What is the meaning of materialistic? Means someone who doesn't believe in anything except what you see is what you get. A materialistic person, a person who believes only what he or she sees. You know, what you see is what you get. They call it what? Wizwig? Huh? What you see is what you get. They call it wizard, something like that. A materialistic person who doesn't believe in Allah, who doesn't believe in Allah at all, would say what? I go to the doctor and I give medication. If the doctor is smart, then my son is going to recover from the illness. But if the doctor is smart and the doctor prescribed good medicine, then, if the doctor is smart and the doctor prescribed good medicine, then my son will? Will heal, that's right. Does he believe in Allah? No. So these are the two extremes. One says, yes, what you see is what you get. One will say, who's kind of crazy, will say, Allah should take care of it. I'm not taking him to the doctor and I'm not giving him medication. The other one says, I depend on the doctor and I depend on medication. Right? How about the true Muslim? The true Muslim is the one in the middle. What does it mean, the one in the middle? Pray to Allah to grant them tawfiq. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. You got it all right. Now, do you know Titanic?
Yes!
Okay.
Everyone knows
Titanic.
No, I don't know.
Because of the movie. Honestly, if there was no movie, you wouldn't know about it.
I still know it from
years. Yeah, I never actually watched it. I never watched it.
Everybody
knows about the signatures.
Okay. Do you know what the engineer... Okay, the engineer who built the Titanic. The engineer who built the Titanic. What did he say?
He said it
will never
sink
because
it's expensive.
He said worse than that.
He said there was like...
It was something.
Worse than that. Worse than that, he said an awful word. He said, not even God can sink it. No, why? He was a smart engineer, and he got smart crew to build the ship. Then how did it sink?
Allah
did not grant him tawfiq. How did Allah got him? Allah got him using something called probability of failure.
Yeah.
You're not just a movie.
No,
oh my God.
Probability of? Huh?
She didn't know that the Titanic was real.
Isn't it just like a movie?
No.
Oh, come on now. Come on. Let's get over this. Okay. Come on. There is something called probability of failure. What do I mean by probability of failure? The possibility that your efforts are going to fail. This is how Allah got him. You know how did Allah got him? He was a smart engineer and he has... smart and clever and professional builders who built the ship. But you know how do you put two steel blades together because it's built of steel? You know how do you put two steel blades together?
Fire.
No.
Oh.
Welding them is the one possibility, but it's not as good as, it's not as practical. You connect them using something called rivets. Rivets, it's like a bolt, basically. a bolt that will connect two pieces of steel. Now, before using the bolts and before using the steel, they test them to make sure they are done right. You know quality control? Mm-hmm. Quality control is to test, to make test enough specimens. Like if you produce 1,000 cars, you need to test five, at least five, to make sure they are right. Okay? Now, he did quality control testing, and it was all right. What happened? This is how Allah got him. One of the, a group of rivets or bolts were not good, were bad. But they didn't show up at the quality control. They were bad. See, so he had the bad rivets. Okay. Now, it happens that the ship hit the iceberg where?
At those location. Places that
were on the... In the bad location. Exactly. And the ship, you know what happened to the ship. Now, when he said it was a lesson to humanity, you know how many elites die in this? You know how many, how much gold was in this ship from the elites wearing it? Elites of Europe was a lot of the gold and treasure, you know, all of this sank down. Okay, so can God sink it?
Yeah.
Yes. How? Using probability of failure. If he said, I depend on Allah, then Allah will cover up for probability failure. Allah will make the ship successful, right? Because he depended on Allah. All right. Now, there is also, I depend on Allah when I am in the stock market. How? I do my effort and I study, okay? And I study the stock and make sure the stock is good. And then I buy the stock. And they say, Ya Allah, I depend on you in buying this stock. If Allah wants you make effort successful, then you buy the stock what? Low and sell what?
High.
If Allah wants to make you poor and miserable and wants to make your effort not successful, then you buy high and sell
low.
You buy high and sell low. You got it? Okay, you got it? So, yes, we depend on Allah in everything. However, we do our part and then we leave the tawfiq to whom? Allah. Tawfiq is always in the hands of Allah. Now, there is a hadith on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell you and explain to you that there is an Arabian guy, and he came to the masjid dragging his camel behind him until he reached to the door of the masjid, and he did not tie the camel. He left the camel loose. Okay? He left the camel without tying the camel, untied. And then he went inside the masjid. Who noticed that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet told him, why didn't you tie your camel? Common sense. If you don't tie your camel, the camel is going to what?
Walk away.
Run away. So why didn't you tie your camel? He said something. He said, I didn't tie my camel because I depend on Allah. I depend on Allah to protect the camel or to keep the camel safe and not let the camel run away. How would you answer it? How would you answer this? You tie the camel, which is your part, and then depend on Allah. Because when you tie the camel, you might not be successful. How? When you tie the camel, okay, you might end up having a thief that would steal your camel, even though your camel is tied. You might end up having the rope cut off, right? You tie the camel and the rope cuts off, and then the camel will run away. So, you tie the camel, you do your part, or shall I say, you do your homework? You do your part by tying the camel, and depends on Allah to make this effort of tying the camel what? Successful. This is how the Prophet explained it. He said, أَخِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ, means that tie the camel and
depend on Allah.
for protecting, making your effort successful. So the camel doesn't cut the robe or some person steals it or one, anything like that. Okay. Humans are made of what? Here. Like? Brain? Brain, plus heart, or plus muscles first and plus heart.
No, this is muscle.
Muscles? Did I spell muscles right?
M-U-S-C.
Yeah.
Good.
I didn't see
this
in the way.
No, this is heart. Okay. To depend on Allah. To depend on Allah. Is it the word? Is it the job of the brains and muscles or the job of the heart?
Heart.
Yeah. So. You use your part using what? Your brain and? Your brain and what?
Muscles.
And then you depend on Allah by your heart. Okay? So, the guy who tied the camel, okay, he did use his brain and muscles, right? Used brain and muscles to what? Used the brain and muscles to what? To do what to the camel? To the camel.
To tie.
And then he used what to depend on Allah?
His heart.
Perfect. MashaAllah. Some people, by the way, some people, by the way, they say, if I tie the camel, then what is the job of Allah? They say, what is left for Allah to do if I tie the camel?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Some people say
they
that.
Say nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They say nothing. What is left for Allah to do is say nothing. Why? Because we did it all.
That's not true.
Of course, it's not true. Yeah. Because there is, you can tie the camel and your effort can be unsuccessful. Your efforts can fail. Probability of failure, remember? So probability of failure in the hands of who? Allah, right? If Allah wants you to make you rich, He will guide you. He will make you successful to hunt good opportunities and make money. But if Allah wants to make you poor, then you will miss every opportunity. Every single opportunity you miss. Okay? If Allah wants to make you poor. And then you become poor. You got this part?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah wants to make you rich, He will guide you into buying the stocks low and sell high. If Allah wants to make you poor, you buy the stock high and you sell low. So it's all in the hands of Allah. Now, let's see how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood and implemented the word that tawakkul, Allah al-Wakil, in his life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's the most important event in the history of Islam? The most important? No.
No.
In the history of Islam,
Oh.
Hajj.
That's not history.
The when he went to Jerusalem.
Not now.
No, when he traveled from like Mecca to Medina.
No, Isra and Mi'raj, no. Huh?
The revelation of the Quran?
No.
Going to the heavens?
Yeah, I mean the revelations of the Quran kept going. But there's one event, single event, that was the most important event in spreading Islam, which is the immigration from Mecca to Medina.
But that's what she said.
I said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard it in hearing. The immigration from Mecca to Medina. Okay? That's why this, the Hijri calendar starts from that day. The Hijri calendar starts from what? What is the 0 year? What is the year in the Hijri calendar? It's the year of where the Prophet what? Immigrated. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
So when I say it is 200, the year is 200 Hijri. It means that the Prophet migrated how many years ago?
200.
200 years. So the zero is just like in the other solar calendar, the zero is the birth of
Christ,
Jesus. Okay? And so here in Islam, the Hijrah starts with the birth of Prophet Muhammad, right? I'm sorry, the calendar starts with the birth of Prophet Muhammad, right?
No.
Starts by what?
The Hijrah. Oh, whoops.
Okay. Now, Allah made the Hijrah happen in a certain way so that we all learn how to make our efforts successful. What happened was that the bad guys wanted to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After he made the deal with people of Medina and he was supposed to immigrate, they said, no, that's it. We need to kill this guy. Do you know what was preventing them from killing Prophet Muhammad before?
I do. Okay, so.
When did you become a student here?
I did this class last year.
Yes, so why you have to tell us the answer?
Okay, let's see if hear from them.
Okay.
Let's hear from them.
Why you're a person.
Huh?
What?
What was the question?
The question was, what was stopping the people from killing the Prophet?
Yes.
Anyone know?
Huh?
They feared the consequences?
Yes, which are? Good. Huh?
More death.
No. Is the consequence is if they kill the Prophet, then the whole, like, because the whole area, his, like, town, they'll, like, want to have war with whoever killed them.
Right.
Yeah.
Wake up.
See, I told you. More death. Shabbat.
That's right. It's going to create a civil war in Mecca. Why? Because the clan of Banu Hashim are the clan of who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are going to fight for revenge. Tribalism at that time was very important. Tribalism means that a person from my tribe can't be wrong. A person from my tribe is always right. Okay? That was tribalism. So, if Banu Hashim is the clan of Prophet Muhammad, if he was killed by another clan, then what happens?
There would be a civil war.
This clan will stand up to take the revenge. To take the what?
Revenge.
So, Mecca is going to be divided. Part will join the clan of Prophet Muhammad, and the other part will join the clan of the killer of Prophet Muhammad. And this will create a civil war in Mecca. Right?
Yep.
But they were afraid of that?
Yes. However, an idea came to them that will allow them to kill Prophet Muhammad and not to worry about civil war. What was that idea?
I know it.
No.
Kill him in his sleep.
No.
No.
Huh?
Poison him.
No.
Can I say it?
Huh?
Wait.
Go ahead.
Okay, so they took one person from each clan to kill the Prophet because then you can't fight everyone.
They got 40 people. 40 people from 40 different clans, 40 different tribes. And they all killed him at once.
Who?
The 40 people all killed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at once.
Isn't it because they took one shot?
Yeah.
Yes.
They all
planned. No. If Prophet Muhammad wants to take revenge, I'm sorry, if the clan of Prophet Muhammad wants to take revenge, what will happen? Then the clan of Prophet Muhammad will be against how many clans?
40.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
No.
That will be the end of the clan of Prophet Muhammad. So they will accept monetary compensation. They will accept monetary compensation in the place.
Can
their
mom come and sit in the class?
Oh, sure.
Mashallah.
Mashallah.
Salaam
alaikum.
Make herself comfortable.
Well, yeah. Does she understand English?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Spoken is not that
good. So, they figured out that this way of killing him is not going to
work.
It's not going to cause a civil war. Because the clan of Quraysh, the clan of Banu Hashim, are going to accept monetary compensation, monetary damages, in exchange of? Exactly. Exactly. And this way, they have gotten rid of Prophet Muhammad. This idea did not come up to them until very late. If they had this idea from the beginning, they would have killed him and got over it. But it came very late. So now, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had an agreement to meet at the house of Prophet Muhammad and to stand with each other, like foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder with their swords. So if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves, when he leaves his house, then they all kill him. Okay. Now, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made arrangements before. What are the arrangements that was done by Prophet Muhammad, which is doing his part, which is doing his homework?
Wasn't it because he took his cousin?
He left his cousin behind.
Yeah.
Number one, so the item number one in the plan, item number one is to leave Ali ibn Abi Talib, his cousin, behind. Why did he leave Ali ibn Abi Talib behind? Why did he leave Ali ibn Abi Talib behind? Any ideas?
Because the clans would think that it was actually Prophet Muhammad, and he knew that, like, he didn't know, but he wished that Allah would grant him safety.
Let me tell you why. There are two reasons. The first reason is that Prophet Muhammad used to be trusted. Trusted with what? You know, when you travel, you want somebody to look over your stuff so that they are not... Yeah, many of the people of Quraysh, because he was known to be the trustworthy. So many people used to leave their stuff. Like, hey, I'm going into a trip. Please take care of my money and take care of my house and take care of my family, you know? And, oh, take care of my camels. Oh, take care of... They used to trust him. And he will keep the trust. Until when he was immigrated, then what happens with these, with the things that he was trusted with? What happened to them? He would betray the trust, right? If he leaves the stuff that he was trusted with behind his back, then he would be betraying the trust. So he left Ali ibn Abi Talib, his cousin, behind to do what?
Watch over the other people's stuff.
And to give back the things to the owner. So it's like, here is your trust back. Here's the things that you trust with me. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're smart, you're going to do the answer. Why didn't Prophet Muhammad return the assets first, the things that he, before the hijrah? Huh?
I know.
Okay.
But what do you mean?
Why did he leave Ali ibn Abi Talib back in Mecca to return the things that Prophet Muhammad was trusted with? Why didn't he just return them himself? Huh? Yes, smart, mashallah. Because they will find out that he is preparing to leave. So So he left Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's one reason. The second reason for leaving Ali ibn Abi Talib was?
To take his place.
Yes, to sleep in his bed. What happened? Why does Prophet Muhammad need Ali to sleep in his bed?
So then
So when the 40 bad guys come to kill him, they always peek. They don't want to kill him inside his house because it's a shame. Okay? Why? Because they always say that. We don't kill people in their house because of their wives and daughters. Yes?
Wait, why would they care about that?
That's the tradition then.
Wait, but then the thing is, what's the difference between killing him in his house and killing him instead outside?
Of his house.
Okay. Like, they do not, there is something called honor.
Yeah, I know that.
Honor means everybody protects his honor, which is daughters and wife. Daughters and wife. So they don't want the Arab to say they have invaded the privacy of their cousin. It's bad. Hello. It's a bad thing to say that he has invaded the privacy of
the daughter and
his family. So they waiting to get out. So every time they peek from the window, what do they see? Prophet Muhammad. No, they see Prophet Muhammad in his bed, sleeping. But guess who is actually sleeping?
His cousin, Ali.
Ali ibn Abi Talib looked like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because it's his cousin. So they confused him. You got it? See this? Now, item number 2 in the plan. Yes? You raise your hand? Okay. Item number 2 in the plan was Mecca and Medina. Mecca. Medina, is it north of Mecca or south of Mecca?
South.
So if you're traveling south, which one you find first, Medina or Mecca?
Medina.
So Medina is what Medina relative to Mecca?
South.
No, north.
Oh.
North. North, right? Then guess what did the Prophet started his immigration? He started his immigration by traveling
south.
Exactly. By traveling south.
Illogical.
Why is that?
Oh.
Huh?
Because the thing is, since the Quraysh, like, if they found out that he was a Jew, like, they would try to follow him.
Exactly.
So if he's going south, then they would think he was going somewhere else, so they would continue south. Instead, he went south and then came back up and went back.
Exactly.
It's called illogicalness.
See, when they find out that Prophet Muhammad escaped, then they will start chasing after him. They are going to travel north or south?
North.
South.
Why? Because Medina
north.
Is?
North.
North of Mecca. He should have done that. That's logical. But he did the opposite, which is traveling?
Illogically.
South. Traveling? South. So by the time they find Prophet Muhammad have escaped, by the time they find out he left, they will all run what? Durgun. They all run what? North. And when they find that there's nobody north, then they will come back and go
south.
But at that time, it will be too late. Now, Prophet Muhammad planned to stay in the cave. For a few days. Tell me, why did he plan to stay in the cave? Hide in the cave. Do you know what's the name of this cave?
Yeah, didn't the cave go like down so if they looked deep?
Why did he decide? Why did he decide? Hello?
Because people were chasing him, they wanted to kill themselves.
Yeah. Why not travel right away to Medina? Huh?
So they don't go to Medina to find him?
No. There's another reason.
So,
let me make it closer to you. In day number one, let's say if in day number one 500 people are looking for him, then day number two will be what? People will give up. So let's say 200 people are searching for him. Then they give up. So how many people are searching for him now? 100 people are searching for him. Then they give up. So 50 people will search for him. Then they give up. So you got what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you understand? This meaning what? People who are looking for him will decrease or increase?
Decrease.
Decrease. Because they gave up. So, for these few days that they were looking for him and unsuccessfully find him, they, the number of people who are pursuing him, they go
down.
Down. So that's why he's hiding there. However, in the cave, he needs what? He needs food, water, and news. Food, water, and news. What do I mean news?
Information.
Yes, information about what's happening outside. What's going on with you guys? Information of what is happening outside. Why? To plan accordingly. So he needs in the cave food, water, and
news.
All right? News about the, what the bad guys are planning. Yeah, that's right. So he made an arrangement. You know the sister of Aisha, which is the son of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu? Yes. But the son, his Abu Bakr's son, his name is Muhammad. He was like 10, 12. He was 10 or 12 years old. Okay? He's the son of Abu Bakr. He was like 10 and 12 years old. So he asked him to bring the news. Why he picked 10, 12 years old person to bring the news?
Yeah, because no one would expect anything.
Why did he select a little kid to give, bring him the news? Huh? Because this little kid will go play around. And while he's playing around, he's what?
Giving news.
He's listening.
So he's a spy.
Girls, he's listening.
Is he a spy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And nobody will ever think that this 12 years old boy, little kid, is spying. They just see him playing around and wandering around with his stick and things like that. And then while he's doing that, he's listening. This is about the news. How about the food and drink? Huh? Yes. Yes. Asma. Her name is Asma. The Abu Bakr's daughter. Her name is what?
Asma.
She would bring him the food and the water. Now, while the Prophet Muhammad was walking, didn't he leave his footsteps behind? Didn't he leave his footsteps behind?
Yeah.
Yes. He did while he's walking. Footprint, step. Steps will leave it imprinted in the sand or whatever, or the mud. Then people will be able to easily follow him. How did he do about, what did he do about that? Huh?
Didn't it when he reached the cave,
Allah? He didn't depend on Allah the way you want. He wanted to do his part. Huh?
Did Asma like walk on his steps so people didn't see that?
Exactly. People would follow his footsteps and find out where was he hiding. Got it? So what did he do about that?
Huh? I just said
what did he do? Huh?
I said that Asma would walk on the steps. So like people would think it would...
No. They can't. Asma had a camel. Herd of camels. Sheep. She used to herd sheep. You know? Herding sheep, that was a very common job at that time.
Yeah.
And then she would walk behind you where her what? Sheep. Guess what would the sheep footprint do to the footprint of Prophet Muhammad and his and Abu Bakr? Would do what?
Disappear.
They will
disappear.
They will override. So the job of Asma was to bring him food and water and hide his footsteps. Good?
What does it say?
Now.
What? Where?
Number one, he left his cousin behind.
Oh, to return?
To trust him with their things.
Yeah, their things.
So he left.
So he left him to return their things.
You don't think of that.
Yeah. Oh. He's left to return the thing. And then he sleeps in his bed to
fool them. Like no way you can see this.
Yeah, it's so tiny. You can just take a picture of it close up.
Yeah, better.
Then, if the Prophet Muhammad is not going to travel in the conventional direction of travel, in the route, if he's not going to travel on, if he's not going to travel on the known route, then he needs what if he travels through an unknown route? He needs a guide man, right? He needs a guide man to guide him because he's not traveling, he's traveling through unknown routes so that he doesn't get caught. Remember, he's doing his part. He made agreements with a guide man to meet him, near the cave of Thou, so that this person will take him in a what, conventional route or unconventional route? The unconventional route. Okay? You got that part right?
Yep.
Good. Okay. So then what else did the Prophet Muhammad plan? So you can see, did he do his part? Yes. He traveled south instead of north. He hid in the cave of Thawr. He left Ali ibn Abi Talib back in his place. And yes, he used Asma to walk behind him with the footsteps of her sheep. So she will hide his footsteps. Okay? Is that the only job of Asma? No. The other job is to bring food and drink. So how many jobs Asma has to do?
Two.
Food and drinks and hide the footsteps.
Done.
Okay? Now, who is the spy? He recruited who to spy? Yes, Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr. What's his name? Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr. He was about like 10 years old, probably at that time. What? 10, maximum 12. So he recruited him to bring him the news. Why? Why did he pick a little kid?
Because he would hear everything other people would say, so that he would like eavesdrop on what they were saying, and then he would take it to the Abu Bakr, or he would take it to Abu Bakr.
That's right. You know the place where they conspire against the Prophet? They call it Dar al-Nadwa. The Muhammad used to play around and listen to the news and then deliver the news to who? Deliver the news to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion. Okay. So the Prophet Muhammad said, okay, I am the Prophet of Allah. He's in my side. He is in my side. So, and I am his Prophet. So he's going, and I'm his Prophet. Then he's going to take care of me. So I shouldn't be planned, right? He might say, okay, if he was one of those dumb guys, he would say, I should depend on Allah to take care of my immigration. And I shouldn't do any planning. I shouldn't do what?
Any
planning. But did he do that?
No.
No. He made planning, right? You see how smart is he? You see? He didn't just go out and say, okay, tawakkalna ala Allah. You know, there are people who say, go out and say, tawakkalna ala Allah. And they don't do their part. Is that right? Tawakkalna ala Allah. Let's go. Is that right? No. You do tawakkul ala Allah when you do everything. You do everything you can do. You do what? Everything you can do. And then you say, I depend on Allah to make my efforts successful. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, again, did he go out and say, I'm the Prophet of Allah? And tawakkalna ala Allah. And then he starts going without any planning?
No.
No. So when Abu Bakr, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did all what he can do, what happens? Allah granted him tawfiq. Allah granted him tawfiq. A final question that I'm going to give to you, and I ask you to bring it the next time, to think about it to the next time. This very nice question. The question is, write down this question. Why didn't Allah give the miraculous animal to Prophet Muhammad to travel from Mecca to Medina? Okay. Why didn't Allah give the miraculous animal? The miraculous animal is the animal of the Isra, you know, who took Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Medina in a blink of an, I'm sorry, from Mecca to Jerusalem, Al-Buraq. Why didn't Allah give Buraq to Prophet Muhammad to use in his immigration?
Isn't that the horse with the wings?
No, it doesn't. No. It's just a, think of it as like mule or something like that. It's miraculous animal. Why didn't Allah give the Prophet Muhammad the miraculous animal called the Buraq to take him from Mecca to Medina? Do you understand the question?
That's farther away.
No.
People would see him, and it wouldn't be like quiet.
That's going to take him to Medina in a blink of an eye.
He wanted to show the lesson of this lesson.
Don't tell them. Why was the Allah in one place giving him the Buraq to travel? Okay. And on the other hand,
he had to teach a lesson.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes. But why did he give him the Buraq? Why didn't he just make him travel to Jerusalem the first time? This is the question. Why didn't he?
Because he had to teach him a lesson.
Well, teach him a lesson or
teach everyone a lesson.
Yes. But what's the difference between traveling to Jerusalem and traveling to Medina? Write down the question so that.
Oh, the question? Okay. So let me write it really big.
Okay. And then, after you copy the question, you're dismissed. But you have to copy the question first.
Are you going to have it on the website?
Yes.
Okay.
No, just the question. Did I take any pictures?
No, you did not take any pictures.